Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message. We have got a real privilege this morning. So what's going to happen over the next little while is every now and again we like to do a bit of a combo. We call them 3x10s, and this is just a chance for us to have three different speakers speak briefly on a particular topic. And we've given them relatively free range, but to kind of keep in theme with our up and go year. But what we've got is... we've got three fantastic people to come and share. So we're going to have Micaiah, Isabel, and Chris. Micaiah's going to kick us off. And for those of you who don't know Micaiah, Micaiah is one of our incredible young adults leaders, leads a group, and you'll find him serving in all sorts of different capacities. Were you on setup team this morning? He traded. Okay, yeah, he did a trade. I saw that. That's a good trade. That's a good trade. But just helps all through the life of the church, and also just carries a real heart for God and for God's word. And so we thought it would be cool to have him kick us off this morning. So would you welcome, please, Micaiah. You.
Thanks, Stanley. All right. Kia ora. Ko tēnei pepeha ki te tauka o tohu mātua. Ko Mangatiri toku maunga, ko Raka Huri toku awa, ko Kirikiri Roa toku moana. Ko Ngai Tahu toku iwi, ko Ngai Tua Huriri toku hapu, ko Tua Hiwi toku marae, ko Urau toku waka, ko Philip toku mātua, ko Kathy toku whaia, ko Micaiah toku ingoa. Kia ora, brothers and sisters in Christ. Whānau, family. Literally, as Stanley said, my family's here visiting from West Auckland. So if you have any questions about how all of this happened, they'll be in the foyer afterwards answering those questions. But in all seriousness, it is great to get to take up some of your valuable time today. And so it's just my pleasure, my honour. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just welcome you into this space this morning, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to share what's on my heart. I thank you for the collective effort that this is, Lord. Just welcome you here. In your holy name, would you guide us this morning? Amen. Up and go. It's been a great year of up and go, and I have been really enjoying the breadth of stuff that we've been able to cover. I have been on a real journey around up, about prayer, about connecting with God. And it's been a journey, and I've been really discovering in that journey who I am. And it's really, really powerful for me to be able to share a little bit about my journey with you today. In particular, the word I want to deal with is identity. Who am I? What is my identity? That's why I started with my pepeha. I'm Māori, part Māori, and it's part of who I am. And I thought I would like to share that with you. Pepeha's traditional Māori, tau Māori worldview way of sharing your place in the world with people you're meeting with. And so I thought we'd start there. But in terms of the practicals of the things Pepeha goes through, I can give you the highlights in just a few words. I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, I'm a teacher, and I'm a student. Those would be the five that probably sum me up as I stand here today. But Matt talked about last week that we are contending against the world, the pressure of my culture, my society, telling me who I am. And they have some other things for me. Letdown, failure, not good enough, stuck. These lies that layer on me and do so for years. They sit in the back of my mind whenever I try and step out in faith. Whenever good things are happening, when bad things are happening. I have trouble separating out my identity as described by Christ versus my identity as described by the world. these are lies. But they are lies that I have spoken over myself for years now. I've dug them into my brain, and modern science, if you believe it, I may have even rewired how my brain works by repeatedly thinking the same ways again and again and again. The journey that God has had me on is both really simple and deeply complicated, and so deeply complicated and personal, you could probably write a book. But there's been a stirring in this church with us over the last little while, a stirring that has culminated in a few of us starting to fast. And fasting is just the practice of abstaining from food for a set period. So for me, this has been happening on Thursdays, just kind of don't have breakfast, don't have morning tea, don't have lunch, don't have afternoon tea, I'll have dinner. And what that has made a lot of space for is prayer. And so when I was told to speak on Up and Go, I was like, I will do up. Particularly for me, by following that stirring, that calling, it's quite hard to quantify, it's quite hard to calculate, because it's not of this world. But for me, by being curious about what the Spirit has had for me, I have rediscovered prayer. And prayer is the act of talking and communicating, engaging with God, trusting that He's listening and carrying an expectation that my words are carried up to His ear and that He, our loving Father, who knows how to give good gifts, is big enough to engage with me on a deeply personal level. Mid last year, my small group did a course on prayer. It's by John Mark Comer, and he brought up a reimagining of this word, lament. The Bible is full of lament. There's a whole book called Lamentations. Yeah. The Psalms are full of lament. Jesus lamented in the garden before His death. Even knowing that new creation was coming and that He would be raised back to life, Jesus took time to lament. What I remember of John Mark's point in this study that we did is that too often I was so focused in my prayer life on asking God to help the way I wanted Him to help that I forgot to tell Him about the problem. That by choosing to stall out, just waiting to bring up what I wanted God to do, and then to sit in the space of lament, of the problem, of the feelings, of the stress, of the worry, that God is at work in me even before I get round to talking to Him about what I want Him to do, that there is a change happening in my heart. All right. That by lamenting, lamenting for me is just this process of working through the feelings, of engaging with God. So King David, the warrior king of Israel at the height of its power as a nation state, wrote a lot of laments. In particular, we're going to have a quick look at Psalm 13. So this is written by the warrior King David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Moving on in verse 3. Look on me and answer. Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. The first thing that I want to really touch on is just to note that David's already in a pretty good place. He's turned to God with his problem. It's why he gets the title, a man after God's own heart. Regardless of what I'm going to say next about what God's been working in my heart about how I pray, that we should pray as a family, as Christians, as people who believe that Jesus has done a powerful thing in the world. We should be praying people as Christians. And I want to encourage you in that. And I want to kind of just say, hey, it's not easy. I struggle with it. But it's so good when you get into it. Lament and sitting in that space agitates something in us. It brings about a change. We slowly work through what we're feeling on an issue. David unpacks that he's been wrestling with his thoughts and that day after day he's had sorrow in his heart. This isn't a quick process. It's not an instant fix. Sorry if that's what you wanted. God's been really working in me in that as well, where he's not a vending machine in the sky. It's not about finding the right buttons to push. And I'm sorry that lament isn't a new button that you can try and press and get the result that we want. God is a relational being who relates to us. And when we engage with him in a relational way and we outlay our heart's desires, he meets with us. So just to skip ahead to the end slide, if you could. Working through these things, I get to inherit the sonship through Jesus Christ. I'm adopted into the family of God. And I do that by acknowledging Jesus' death on the cross. I get to be a brother to everyone in God's family. That Jesus is my friend, and I am his friend. And he walked through life alongside me. I have a gift for teaching. And God has plans for my gifting in that area. I will continue to be a student of God's way of doing things for the rest of my life. But it is so, so good. Thank you very much.
So good, eh? Thanks, Micaiah, just for opening up your heart. And as we're hearing these guys speak, it's just that internal question, isn't it? Lord, what are you stirring in me? What are you wanting to invite me into here? Something around identity or prayer may well have been what you've felt stirred about, as Micaiah has shared with us. Thanks, man. We're going to hear from Isabel. Some of you will know Isabel already, but Isabel has been doing one of those ministry experiences this year. She's been a ministry assistant, but is also on our staff. And so anything that you see, almost anything that goes up to screen, for example, is part of her design work, and she just does an amazing job for us and is a gift to us. Has invested a lot into the life of Coast Vineyard, underneath the surface, you know. And so, Isabel, we're really grateful for you and expecting. We want to hear what God's put in your heart for us. So, come on, would you come welcome Isabel up?
Well, hello, everybody. As Stanley said, I'm Isabel, if we haven't met. And, yeah, it's awesome to be here today and awesome to share with you guys. And I'm excited to see what God does this morning. But earlier this year, I actually got the opportunity to head over to Cambodia with Grace Vineyard. And shout out, because Sarah from Grace is actually here today. but in this opportunity, we got to experience a whole lot of things. We learned a lot. We did a lot. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But one thing that I actually learned probably the most in this trip was when we actually were off mission. We like to joke that when we got back to Siem Reap for a day and a half, we technically weren't on mission anymore. You know, we were tourists, we were in the city, we got to go and explore all the places, lay by the pool, eat all the food, and I was also quite excited for that time. But I learned something pretty quickly in that moment, that Josh and Ethan, two of the guys that we were also with from Grace Vineyard, Well, they never go off mission. No, they had just started. So that night, our first evening off mission, we went to a restaurant. And while we were there, they spoke to both our waiter and the restaurant owner about the gospel, asked to pray for both of them individually. One was open to it, the other one kind of dismissed. But that didn't dishearten them at all. No, we got back to our backpackers and they met two guys there. They bought them some drinks and they stayed up until midnight speaking to them about who Jesus is and how Jesus loves them. And then that next day, we are strolling, you know, being tourists in this big city. And as we are walking down the street, us three girls, we're just chit-chatting. We turn around to the boys and we realize they're gone. And we look down and they're all the way down the end of the street. And I'm sure you can guess what they did in this moment. Yeah, they had stopped to speak to two of the tuk-tuk drivers about Jesus. And it was quite profound, actually, watching these two young men in their late 20s, early 30s, just sharing the gospel to everyone they met, basically. Everywhere they went, they shined the light of Jesus. And they shined it even brighter because they were doing it together. In Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Jesus was among these two men as they stepped out on the mission field. Josh and Ethan demonstrated so perfectly to me on this trip what it means to be in this theme that our church has been called into this year, to look up but to go out. But what I learned from them is that they do it together. They don't do it alone. In scripture, God illustrates this to us through the parable of the city on a hill. If you are not familiar with what a parable is, it is basically a story or illustration that teaches us a moral or a spiritual lesson. And if you aren't familiar with this parable, it was given to us in Jesus' most famous Sermon on the Mount, where he speaks to a large crowd, followers and non-followers, about what it means to be in the kingdom of God and like what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So many of you may be familiar with this parable, and if you are, I'd just love to invite you today. Just approach it with fresh eyes. God might be saying something new to you. So, Matthew 5:14-16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This parable is speaking about two lamps, the collective lamp of a city and then the individual lamp of the house. But this morning, I want to dig a little bit deeper into this collective lamp of the city on the hill. Because of light pollution in our day and age, we don't often experience the pure darkness that Jesus was speaking about in this parable. Back in Jesus' time, when you were in darkness, it was pure darkness. You had no idea what was behind you and you had no idea what you were approaching. So it meant that this is filled with worry, anxiety, concern. You're in the complete unknown. I know even when I'm in the darkness with our light pollution, I pray just that little bit harder. So I can imagine what they felt. But in Jesus's time to light up their cities, they would have little flames within their house, whether that was a fireplace or candles. But then their city walls would also be dotted with flames. So this meant when people were wandering in the wilderness in the nighttime, they could see these cities in a distance, these lights, and they would feel the sense of peace in knowing that there is safety and there is life because there is a city filled with light that will shine the darkness away. And that's why in the Bible, darkness is the symbol of evil and fear, but light is the symbol of hope and life. In John 18:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light in the darkness. And as you come to know Jesus and you become one of his followers and you begin to be with him, you will also carry this light. And as a church, as we gather, we become this collective light. We become the light, the city on a hill that shines into the darkness. The church was created to be this place for followers to gather, for us to worship God, to learn more about God, to disciple each other, to pray for each other. We came and gathered so that then we could fill our cups so that we can go out there and shine the light of Jesus. Church isn't just a place for believers to come and go through the motions and then leave and go back into the busyness of our life. It's so easy to go into the motions of life and to forget that we aren't just called to be disciples here in this building or in our small groups, but we're called to be disciples out there on the streets. And sometimes it's important to remember to kind of just check ourselves and think, when was the last time that I actually pushed myself out of my comfort zone for Jesus? Or when was the last time that I prayed for someone outside of a church service or small group? When was the last time that I actually told someone about Jesus? Or even just simply, when was the last time you were the light to someone that was in so much darkness? Ephesians 3:10 so beautifully describes the importance of the church when it's bright. It says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purposes that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's quite a hefty verse, but basically what it's saying is that God reveals his big and grand purposes to the collective gathering of believers. Although we're all empowered into our own callings, but he unfolds the revealing plan to us all because we are called to community. We're called to work together. We're called to be the body of Christ. However, in order for God to reveal this plan to us, we actually need to be a church that is plugged in and a church that is attentive to the Holy Spirit and where he is leading us. We need to be a church that is filled with all of those little individual lamps, all of those homes in the city, because our church is actually only going to shine as bright as you do. This year, God has been teaching myself, and as Stanley said, in my internship, but he's also been teaching our church what this looks like, what it looks like to be the light in the darkness. At the beginning of the year, we found ourselves in quite a unique opportunity to connect with our wider community here on the Hibiscus Coast. So as a church, we saw this opportunity, and a few of us have gathered together, and we have opened up the hub for morning teas on a Friday. And this is basically invited to anyone in our community that wants to come. And this has been a place of light and hope and safety and joy. And as a church, Coast Vineyard, we have been able to shine the light of Jesus into some people that have never experienced any kind of love like this before. And through this, we've built these really awesome and strong relationships. And so we were able to start something called The Table, which was more of a church-based gathering. And we told them this. We said, if you're coming, we're going to be talking about Jesus, so be prepared. And what we do is we gather around the table and we eat a meal and we get to know each other just that little bit more. And then we transition into a time of worship and prayer and teaching them about Jesus and our stories and our testimonies. And it's been pretty awesome. Like, the Holy Spirit is moving and God is in this place. And it's so awesome to be a part of that and to be able to participate in what the Holy Spirit is doing. But there's one thing that I wanted to point out here, As we've done everything in the table in our morning teas, this could have never happened if it was one individual feeling called to it. No, it only could happen because multiple individuals in this church felt called to inspire and to shine the light of Jesus to those that have never met Jesus before. And what I learnt was no single light can shine bright on its own. We need to shine together because when we unite, our collective light becomes so much brighter. So, Coast Vineyard, this morning I want to encourage you. Let's be the light on the hill. Let's shine bright into the darkness to people that feel alone and lost. Let's come together and let's be that light. In the parable it says, do not cover your light with a bowl, but instead put it on a lampstand. Let's be a church that is filled with followers that put it on a lampstand, but don't just put it on a lampstand here on a Sunday, but put it on out there. Let's be a church that is bold in their faith and wants to share the light of Jesus. But let's do it together. Awesome.
Preach!
Clearly passionate.
Yeah. And honestly, that space and what those relationships that have been established have been so significant. Challenging, but significant. And, you know, Isabel has helped us as a church to be able to spearhead those sorts of environments, which has just been fantastic. The growth in her through this year has just been off the charts. It's been awesome. But feel the challenge, right? Feel the challenge. Those questions. When did I last talk about Jesus to someone outside of, you know, a church meeting? When was I last that light in the darkness of someone else's life? Those are great questions for us to just sit with, to be reminded by. And we're going to hear from Chris in a second. And Chris is one of those guys who is always telling stories about doing this exact thing, about sparking up conversation, about just getting into other people's worlds in the best way possible. I know that you're going to be blessed with what he's going to continue to say. If you haven't met Chris, is also just a key part of our church. Comes in a different generational sphere to the last two speakers that we've just heard, but comes with great wisdom and great heart for God, great heart for his church, great heart for sharing that love of Jesus wherever he finds himself, and has been a great encouragement to me personally, and I know to many others. So why don't you welcome Chris as he continues to speak to us this morning. Thanks, Chris.
Smart ones in the room will have worked out that these sessions are not sponsored by Sanitarium. I used to feel a certain degree of guilt about sharing my faith. I came up through outfits like Teen Challenge, Youth with a Mission, and there were some guys there who were full on for that, and I didn't feel being the operative word, the same energy that they had. But I want to talk this morning about going without guilt. So let's move on. As Matt shared a couple of weeks ago, more than half of New Zealanders surveyed in our national census last year declared that they had no religion. Can you guess what the second largest religion is in New Zealand now? It's not Islam. Anyone care to guess? It's actually Hinduism. And there's a challenge for us all. Let's go on. So why do you think people are leaving church? Why do you think people may be ignoring church or ignoring religion altogether? I've been to Pakistan a few times. And on one occasion I was there and I had a book with me about, well, kind of comparing Christianity and Islam. And I met a student I'm still in touch with called Sabir Hussain. Gave him the book to read. 3 days later, we had coffee together. And I've never forgotten what he said to me. He said, I had no idea that people in the West were serious about God. That really struck me. And as I say, we're still in touch. I want to talk about 3 reasons why people, us, may not share our faith. And you'll see there, maybe we don't know how. Maybe we think it's somebody else's job. And perhaps even we're not entirely sure what the gospel is. I have a friend who was talking this week about a prayer he felt that God gave him, which was, Lord, give me the grace or the ability to share the gospel in a way that connects with people in this age. I think that's a great prayer to be praying. He and some of his other friends are praying that now every day, and I want to pray the same prayer. But let's carry on, because we're going to unpack this a little bit. So we can ask ourselves, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. But the question is, how do we do it? And what about the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit in order to be his witnesses? Let's move on. One of the things that really impacted me when I was reading the book of Proverbs, and I try and read many of you may do this, read a chapter each day, was this part of chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. It says, he who sleeps through harvest or in harvest is a disgraceful son. And I said to the Lord, I don't want to be that disgraceful son. I don't want to be asleep when you are seeking to draw people to yourself. And so we need to be spiritually awake, and I'm going to talk in a moment about what that is like. Some of us who think about evangelism may think that we need to be trained to do that. Training can be super helpful. But look at this verse from Acts 4:13. This is when Peter and John were in front of the Sanhedrin. These religious leaders recognized that the people in front of them were unschooled, but they also took note that these men had been with Jesus. If you and I have been with Jesus, we have the foundational qualification that we need. Okay? So to repeat, training can be fantastic. But if you've been with Jesus, you're already qualified. So let's move on. One of the things that we can feel is a burden to tell. But there is also a key place for asking questions. There's this book, it's not a Christian book. It talks about humble inquiry. And I think being in a place where we can exercise humble inquiry is a great thing to be, which is where we're saying to people, tell me how you are. I really want to know. One of the things I've learned when I've met different people in different places, coffee places or wherever, is saying to them, when you're not here drinking coffee or wherever it might be, how do you occupy your time? That's humble inquiry, which has to do with asking questions that you don't know the answer to. We need not to be so keen as to overwhelm the person we're talking to with what we want to say. So let's go to the next. Can just start with what I call a hello conversation. I used to teach at Massey University in Albany, and came out of teaching a class one day, and there was a guy who was a security guard, and he looked as if he had come from somewhere like either India or Pakistan. And I said hello to him. Do you mind telling me where you're from? He turned out to be from Pakistan, which, as I said, I've visited a number of times. We had a great chat. He was blown away that somebody would just acknowledge him. would stop to talk to him. It felt he was just kind of invisible. We ended up having dinner together, and I was able to share the gospel with him. That's a hello conversation that any one of us can have. Let's move on. Now, often we need to bear in mind that people making a decision move through a process. If you're a marketer, if you're in sales, you know this. You talk about the sales funnel. But anyone making a decision goes through the process of awareness, interest, desire, and action. Your conversation with someone may fit somewhere in that process. You may just be helping to make someone aware of Jesus, like the person I met in Pakistan who said, "You in the West are serious about God? Really?" You can arouse interest. I've talked to a business person around here in Orewa who was already interested in Jesus and has moved to desire. Sometimes we can say to each other, well, I planted a seed today in talking to someone about Jesus. Brethren and sistren, the idea of planting a seed is that something grows. And we need to have that expectation and that faith as well. Let's move on. So apart from feeling that we don't know how to do this, there can be a tendency in us to outsource the sharing of our faith. That's our Matt or Stanley's job. Or it's people who are kind of official Christians. Really? Does Jesus' command to go still apply? I reckon it is. It does. We can't outsource what God has asked us to do. So let's carry on. And sometimes we feel we don't know what the gospel is. Yes, we are aware of and rejoice in the fact that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again from the dead. But it's also about what one author, Scott McKnight, calls the King Jesus gospel. King Jesus wants to transfer people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we're part of that process. Absolutely part of that process. So remember that after his resurrection, Jesus talked to his disciples, his apprentices, about the kingdom of God. So that's the larger picture that we need to have. Let's move to the final slide. Some suggestions for you. Try to have one hello type conversation this week. Cultivate an always be ready heart and mindset. The Apostle Peter said, always be ready to defend the faith. I reckon he could just as well have said, always be ready. Because if we have an always be ready heart and mindset, then God will give us opportunities to help reach someone who's on that process. Finally, remember you're not on your own. God promised, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to help us. And if you've said hello and are wondering what to say next, the Holy Spirit is with you and will give you what to say and to do. So my encouragement to you this morning is to be part of a people who share their faith and in doing so show that they're serious about God.
So Lord, we pray, Father, that our identity would be found in you. God, that as we journey with you in prayer, as we connect with you, as we do the day in, day out of just finding ways to draw close to you, Lord God, that you would cement that identity of who you call us to be, that we are loved and cherished and found in you, Lord God. heart, that no one is too far to be able to have your hand reach into their lives. We have not cut ourselves off from you, Lord God. And I pray that that would be a growing expectation, a growing discovery, Lord God. And Lord, as you plant that light into our lives, Lord God, give us the grace and the courage and boldness to shine that light to the world around us. God, as has been said, Lord, may we be a church that would shine your light brightly, Lord God, in each of our own unique and intriguing ways, Lord God, that you would use us to show your love to the world around us. Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day. Be blessed.